Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to the beautiful James F. Feninga Theater and the Center for Civic Engagement on the UW Marathon County Campus in Wausau. As we bring you a very special event, our live broadcast of the Wisconsin Public Radio Route 51 concert with Greg Kalk and the Tone Controls, brought to you by the Great Northern Blues Society and the Blues in the Schools program. I'm Glenn Moberg. How's everyone feeling today? Now look, I'm not supposed to shout, okay? My executive producer told me not to shout, but that was too tepid for me. So I'm going to ask you once again, how's everybody feeling today? Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, theater manager, Chris Berg, Mike Tatro of the Great Northern Blues Society, UWMC's Tim Buchholz, and the students and teachers here today from the Wausau School District, the D.C. Everest School District, the Rib Lake School District, and UW Marathon County. As we explore this iconic, uniquely American art form known as the blues, and also, and this is important, the importance of music and the arts in our public schools curriculum. Greg Kalk was born in Milwaukee in 1966. He studied jazz guitar for 4 years at UW Stevens Point. In 1989, he won first prize in the Bluesbreaker Guitar Showdown, judged by the legendary Buddy Guy. Greg Kalk and the Tone Controls have won 5 Wisconsin Area Music Awards for Blues Artist of the Year, and Greg won 7 awards as Guitarist of the Year. He's released 13 CDs, published several instructional music books and DVDs, and he was hired by the Fender Musical Instrument Company to conduct guitar clinics as an international ambassador. Just back from Australia, would you please give a warm Wisconsin Public Radio welcome to bassist Kevin Muschel, drummer Gary Kaler, and Greg Kalk and the Tone Controls.
Spider has not yet faded.
You are listening to a special Route 51 Blues in the Schools concert with Greg Koch and the Tone Controls live from UW Marathon County in Wausau on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support for this program and Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're going to talk to Greg here a bit about some of his experiences. Greg, you just got back from Australia. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, this is about the 10th year in a row I've gone down there. And Fender Guitars has kind of brought me all over the world, which has been great. I don't do as much for them as I used to do. I do a bunch of other things, but it was kind of the gateway exposure to me to go all over the world. And the Australian Fender people bring me down there every year, and we put together a band. And we travel all Australia over about 10 days playing concerts using the new Fender gear, and we just kind of unleash the beast all over there and draw a bunch of marsupials to our gig, which is really cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were hired as a clinic instructor and an international ambassador by the Fender Musical Instrument Company.
That was the kind of unofficial name, ambassador.
As an ambassador, does that give you diplomatic immunity when you're abroad? Because that can be dangerous for a rock and roll band.
In the musician community, exactly correct. I was immune to a variety of different infractions, so that was good.
You grew up in Milwaukee. When did you decide you wanted to play guitar?
Well, it was kind of a weird thing because I was the youngest of seven kids, and my brother was the oldest, and there were five girls in between, and I was the youngest. So I had to room with my brother, which I'm sure was a total drag to him because he was 14 years older than I was. But I was exposed to his record collection. And he was really into Hendrix and Cream and Zeppelin and this kind of stuff. So I was exposed to these guitar-playing deities, you know what I mean? And all of his friends just had such reverence for musicians in general and guitar players in particular that I was like, yeah, that sounds good to me. So I was just really enthralled with all things guitar, particularly Hendrix.
You were born in 1966. Now, that was about the time Jimi Hendrix was releasing his first album. And he was dead by the time you were a toddler. So this influence of your brother explains exactly how that happened.
Well, it's kind of funny because when I found out Hendrix was dead, because I got into him probably in 1973. He had already been dead for 3 years, and I'll never forget being exposed to all those records and really being into it and saying to my sister, I'm really a fan of that Jimi Hendrix fellow. She goes, you know, he's dead. I'm like, what? I didn't know at that age. You don't even know that people can die. You know what I mean? So it was a downturn.
Now you went on to study jazz guitar at UW Stevens Point. How important was that in your later development?
Well, jazz education is, I didn't want to be a jazz guitar player per se. I just wanted to know how to play over more sophisticated chord changes, because I always wanted to do my own music that was a hybrid of all the different things I was into, blues, rock, jazz being part of it. And so there's harmonies involved with jazz that are more sophisticated that you can learn on your own if you're exposed to it all the time and, you know, if you have people around you that know about it. But I didn't, so I went to school to learn all that stuff and to be able to write music and all that kind of stuff.
Now, is it true that if you know how to play jazz, you can play anything, or is that a cliche?
Well, it's a cliche. I mean, certainly you can hear, you're familiar with the harmonies of everything, but there's niche feel-oriented things. I mean, how you feel music and how you articulate notes and phrasing and all that kind of stuff, that's particular to all the different genres. So if you know jazz phrasing, that doesn't necessarily mean you know blues phrasing or rock phrasing or so on and so forth.
You've released 13 CDs. Tell us about one of the most recent ones.
Well, this particular aggregation of individuals, we go back, this was my first ensemble that we really started as a vehicle for my original music, going back to 1990, as a matter of fact. So we started doing gigs again together a couple years ago, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun just to go in the studio and record a record live, kind of doing a lot of the songs that we never really recorded on a CD prior to that we did back in the day. So we just went into a studio and played live, just like how you're hearing us now, and we put it out as a DVD and as a CD, and that's called Vivid Gristle.
Well, tell us about these. Yeah, what is Gristle? What is Gristle?
Well, it just became kind of a thing. A late-night feast at Ma Fisher's after a gig one night, and somehow a piece of gristle from a steak and egg dinner started to get flung around, and then someone pounded it with something, and we went, pound the gristle! And then every time we were jamming and things got a little intense, we're like, let's go pound the gristle tonight. So it became kind of a euphemism for jamming, and it just got more.
I think we can say that on the radio. Now, you've got an effects pedal.
Yes.
Which has Gristle King on it.
Yes, yes. So a gentleman, Tim Yarning, from beautiful Wausau here, we went to school together in Stevens Point, and he's a great guitar player and a singer, but he's also an engineer by trade, and he started messing around with effects pedals. And I don't know, maybe 15 years ago or so, Tim approached me about, he's like, hey, I'm making this pedal, why don't you check it out? And I really liked his overdrive pedal. And he's like, well, why don't we do a signature thing? So that first pedal was called the Diabolical Gristle Tone Manipulator. And then he had a clean boost. It was called the Luxury Drive. And I was like, I'd like kind of an amalgam pedal of that. So that became the Gristle King.
Luxury Gristle.
Indeed.
It doesn't
that could
get
have been
much
another
better
one.
Than that.
Velvety and smooth.
You've released a number of international, or rather instructional books and CDs and DVDs.
Yes, that has made me the thousandaire I am today, ladies and gentlemen. I have hundreds of dollars at my disposal.
Greg, you've got a number of young people in the audience, and they are all in awe of you right now, I'm sure. What can you tell young people who love music, maybe love the blues, and then they look at somebody like you and say, why should I even try? I'm never going to be that good. What can you tell them?
They would be better. Well, you know what? It's just a matter of putting time in is the thing. I mean, it's not it just doesn't happen by accident. You know, people say, well, how'd you get this? And it's like, well, okay, let's do a quick recap. I don't have any hobbies. You know, I'm not hunting. I'm not fishing. I'm not on a bowling team. There's no dart league for me. I don't drink. I don't do anything. I have kids. So I'm dad, and I play guitar, and that's pretty much it. So when I'm not doing dadly duties or paying the bills or in an airplane, I'm usually practicing or listening to music. Always everything is to the aim of trying to augment what I do. But as a result, I mean, every time I leave the house, I love to do everything I get to do. If it's this, if it's doing a clinic, if it's doing videos, if it's writing, whatever, I enjoy it all. So that's kind of the payoff.
You've mentioned Hendrix as one of your biggest influences, but you've got a lot of influences.
Yes.
You go online, you can see Albert Lee, the great country rock guitar player.
Yes.
You play some Les Paul, some Chet Atkins. And why don't you demonstrate some of those different styles for
okay.
the folks?
All right. Well, there's a bunch of different things, and the reason why I got into all the different things was, I think part of it was, you know, my dad's a lawyer, he's still around, he's going to be 93 years old next week, ladies and gentlemen, and so being a lawyer, you can imagine that he was not exactly robustly pleased that I was going to be a musician, you know what I mean, because he's thinking I'm going to be poor and leeching off him for the rest of my life, and of course that happened, but I'm just kidding, he instilled in me that I better be good, or else there's going to be trouble. So I learned a bunch of different styles. I was always learning different stuff. So blues-wise, you know, if I'm doing, you know, a B.B. King thing. That would be a B.B. King thing. If I was doing more of an Albert King thing, that would sound something like this. That was not a follow. If I'm doing more of an Albert Collins-y thing, that's going to sound more like this. Conversely, if I was asked to do kind of a Chet Atkins thing, more of a kind of a Chet type of a thing. If I was doing more of like a straight country-ish type of thing. sometimes I get asked to do more of like a pedal steel type of thing, right? Or someone might say, hey, play some Led Zeppelin. Stuff. So that's just kind of a spattering from, you know, a little bit of blues, a little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. Sometimes I might ask to do a little bit of a Wes Montgomery thing.
Greg Koch, everyone.
Thank you.
Greg, you play the Fender Telecaster. You've also played the Fender Strat. What's
yes.
the difference between the two instruments?
Well, the Telecaster came out first. It actually came out first in 1951, and it was called the Broadcaster. And it pretty much, it was the same guitar, but they got in trouble from the Gretsch Drum Company, and they had to switch it to... the Telecaster. And then in 1954, they came out with the Stratocaster as having a little bit more modernity to it. It had the Stratocaster has three pickups and has the whammy bar on it. And was most effectively championed by Jimi Hendrix, who kind of led the way for everybody else. The Telecaster is more of kind of a bare-bones tool. The Strat's got kind of all the bells and whistles. Whereas the Telecaster, there's kind of no place to hide. But by the same token, it's like the best blank canvas for doing anything that you want to do. You can make it be a rock guitar, you can make it be a blues guitar. You can certainly add distortion to it. And the whole first Led Zeppelin record, for the most part, was done on a Telecaster. The solo to Stairway to Heaven was done on a Telecaster. So it's a very versatile guitar. And plus, you can treat it like a farm animal, and it won't go out of tune. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, I travel a lot.
You can make it sound like a farm animal, too.
Exactly. You know. I don't know what kind of farm animal that is, but it's one that's being abused, I think. And that's not right. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's not right.
Greg Koch, everyone.
Thank you.
We want to look at the Blues in the Schools program now with Mike Tatro of the Great Northern Blues Society. And we've got two local teachers, Ted Aristat, who's the director of bands at D.C. Everest High School in Weston, and Matt Robish from Rib Lake High School, and he's also the middle school band director. I'm getting some feedback here, so we're going to walk over here. Matt, we're going to start out with you. You brought 55 of your kids here today, and Rib Lake is an hour away. Why did you think it was worth the time to do that? Let me hold it.
Anytime we have a chance to bring our kids out to experience music live, it's just a real treat for them, and it gives them some perspective on what happens. I mean, living in a rural community, we don't have a lot of these opportunities, and to be having this chance for them is probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience at this point.
You teach jazz and even polka at Rib Lake?
Yeah. We like the traditions of our history, and I think that jazz is a very American tradition, and polka band, it's something that came with our ancestors, and we feel it's important to keep alive. All these influences in music carry through forever and are important to our future as well as our past.
Do the people in your district support the music program?
Absolutely. I mean, they've been just really overwhelming. Both parents and community members are willing to come and help out at events. But just our numbers and our programs speak to that. We have almost half of the student body involved in music at our school, so it's very important in our town.
Ted Aristat, you once told me that as a musical art form, the blues is deceptively simple. What did you mean by that?
Well, you've got a formula that the blues pretty much fits in. It's 12 measures long. You've got three chords, and they're all patternistic as far as when they happen. But inside that, you've got thousands upon thousands of pieces that people creatively come up with, and they come up with different sounds because of the pedals or the different instruments that they use and the different messages that they like to sing. So it's incredible to have kind of that constriction, but still that magnanimous sound that people just love and can listen to for hours upon hours.
You're not only a band instructor, but you play the trombone, the jazz trombone. We've had a chance to jam together with the Sid Kyler Jazz Band. And with the Wausau Symphonic Jazz Band, you've integrated blues music into it. I was blessed, I guess, to be able to help you out with the old B.B. King standard, Every Day I Have the Blues.
Well, yeah, we just have to keep that thing going through the community as much as possible. And this is a great community for live music. Places like Bull Falls that allow us, and now the new Cajun Place downtown. So this is a great community for being able to play live music, and the blues is part of that.
And there's also Malarkey's and a place called the Intermission in downtown Wausau, where Greg Koch will be performing this evening, if you haven't gotten enough of him thus far. Let's bring Mike Tatro in. Mike, Mr. T, as you're called. Blues in the schools, it's one of the really important things that the Great Northern Blues Society does.
Yeah, it's a mission that we want to get out to the kids in the community and where, as far as we can. I mean, our annual fundraiser is going to take place at the 12th, on the 12th of March in a couple weeks here, a week from Saturday. And that's our fundraiser. With that money, we try to do at least one of these events every year. Last year, we started doing it in this beautiful theater. It's absolutely perfect to do a show like this. And, you know, it's important for us to get this music out because, in my opinion, blues is the music from which rock and roll was born. And that's
now you say fundraiser. Doesn't that sound boring, a fundraiser? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the Blues Cafe, the 17th annual Blues Cafe at the Rothschild Pavilion, and you've got some rockin' blues people. Tell us about the lineup this year.
Well, this year we're going to start off with Aaron Williams and the Hoodoo, who's a rockin' band out of Madison area, a multi-talented band. We're bringing in a young band from Indiana. They play I think they call it a North Mississippi Hill Country Blues, very brash edge blues, similar to the Black Keys or that type of music. And then Ray Fuller and the Blues Rockers out of Ohio. He's a slide guitar player, Johnny Winter type guitar player. We've got Lionel Young Band coming on at 7 o'clock. They're out of Denver. He's an electric violin player, and he's got a couple horn players, a great band. And we're closing it out with Albert Cummings, who is from Western Massachusetts, a great guitar player. Actually started playing the banjo, and then he moved to guitar after he heard Stevie Ray Vaughan concert. His dad took him to a Stevie Ray concert, and he slipped.
That's the Saturday, March 12th, the Blues Cafe at the Rothschild Pavilion. I want to ask both of you, how many people have you mentored, and did any of them surprise you? Ted, you go first.
I think it's been three so far. Might be 3,000. I don't know. It's hard to count because you've got the concert band, you've got the jazz ensemble, and then adults in the community as well. So through the decades, I don't know, 2,000-3,000, I suppose.
Matt?
I would say it's about the same for me, and I would say the answer to your other question is every day we make an influence on these kids. Their life changes in some way due to music.
There is a perception that music and the arts isn't really important, and that in tough times when we're cutting budgets in public schools, they should be the first to go. What's your reaction to that sentiment?
Well, I think that music really has two places in our world, and one of them is aesthetics. I mean, we have to feel emotion, and it puts us in touch with that. I think that's hard for some people to understand as a selling point. But it is important, I think, if you reflect on that. But on the other side, music is what creates problem solvers. It's what creates critical thinkers. And this is the thing we hear about today that our younger people need more of. We need people that are going to be able to cure cancer, to solve the next big world problems. And that comes through this creative problem solving that music gives you.
Ted Aristat, same question. Yes, you can applaud.
Well, it's great timing to deal with this now that the nation has finally recognized the arts as part of the core curriculum of our schools. And we look and see that out in industry and in business, they're looking for creative thinkers and people that can make decisions. And when you go through school and all you're doing is reading a book and then writing what you read on a test, that's not cutting it. People have got to be able to stand up and make decisions. And that happens especially in these smaller groups, where everybody's interacting and you're reacting live to one another, supporting one another, being creative. It's one of the best venues for that exercise.
Ted Aristat of the D.C. Everest Senior High School, Matt Robish of the Rib Lake School District, and Mike Tatro, Mr. T, of the Great Northern Blues Society. Let's bring a young man up here from UW-Marathon County. James DeHart, am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct.
He is currently playing guitar with the Wausau Symphony Jazz Band. And James, you brought your guitar with you.
Yes, I did.
You want to plug in and see if we can play along with Greg Koch and the tone controls? We'll turn this amplifier on.
Welcome, James.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You are listening to a special Route 51 Blues in the Schools concert live from UW Marathon County on Wisconsin Public Radio with Greg Koch and the Tone Controls and James DeHart.
Thank you.
James DeHart and Greg Koch in the tone controls. James, you actually play jazz guitar with the ensemble here at UW-Marathon County. What sorts of things are you practicing right now?
We do some blues, actually a good amount of blues, a lot of jazz. There's definitely a lot of blues influence in jazz. A lot of that. We do some funky stuff, straightforward swing, Count Basie.
You interested in being a full-time guitar player, or is just this something that's going to bring a lot of joy and satisfaction in your life?
I mean, music's always been something that's been a big part of my life, and I've always done what I can to try and keep it part of my life, you know, James, finding groups to play with.
James, thanks so much. You sound great.
Yes.
Let's bring some students up here. Oh, we got quite a bunch of them, so one at a time here. Your name's, young man?
Owen Nowak.
And where are you from?
River Lake.
What do you think of Greg Koch and the Blues in the Schools program?
Awesome.
You have a question for him?
Why did you guys come together, like, to form, like, a gig and then go to band?
Well, we got together, I had known Kevin for quite some time, and we would just get together for the fun of it. And we had such a good time playing, we're like, we should put a band together. But he was involved in some different things, and I was involved in some different things. And then at one point, he's like, I know this drummer, he sings great, and he plays great, and yada, yada, yada. So we got together, and was like, well, this is a lot of fun, but we were still involved in a bunch of different things. And then I had a band together, and a guy moved down to Nashville, and we had all these gigs booked, and so we needed a band. And so we just started playing those gigs, and we never looked back. We just kind of went from there, and it was a lot of fun. So
thanks so much.
Thank you for the question.
And you are?
My name's Oscar. I'm from DC Everest High School.
Yes, sir.
One question was, do you guys always do rock blues, or do you guys ever change it up and do, like, some funky or some kind of type of swing? Or?
Well, in our full gig, when we're doing all of our stuff, we have swing tunes, we have funk tunes, we have fusion-y tunes. Actually, that's one of the things over the years. I mean, I love traditional blues. I love blues rock. But we do have all these other different influences, and that's over the years kind of gotten us in a little trouble with the blues purists and so on and so forth. But we do absolutely do all that different stuff, absolutely.
And you are?
Audrey Reiner.
And where are you from?
Rib Lake.
You got a question for Greg?
My question is, what's the worst mistake you can make while doing what you do?
Well, like when you're live on the radio, I could probably say something entirely inappropriate, and that would be bad.
No, you're not going to do
that. We're not going to do that, though, see? So problem averted. But
pounding the gristle is about as close as we're going to get to that. And your name is?
Jacob Mataika from Rib Lake.
Got a question for Greg?
Is there an instrument that you don't play that you'd like to play, and why?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I was down in Australia, there was a gentleman that I was performing with, who was really good at the five-string banjo. And usually you make jokes about the banjo, but when you see someone that can really play it, it's really, really cool. So a friend of mine borrowed me a banjo, and so I had to break it to my wife. Honey, there's banjo in our future.
And you are?
My name's Duncan. I'm from DC Everest. And just to sort of build off Oscar's question here, what are, like, since you mentioned you did some funk tunes, what are some of these funk tunes?
Well, a lot of them are my own funk tunes. A lot of the influence comes from everyone from certainly James Brown. Some of the earlier, there's all the bands I was into were had funk influences, whether it be, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, certainly Larry Graham and Graham Central Station. But Hendrix was a funky, funky individual, and a lot of times he would do funky-oriented stuff. Certainly Stevie Ray Vaughan did some funky stuff. So all the blues guys I was into, there was a degree of grease to what they did. Booker T and the MGs, the Meters from New Orleans. I was really into the Neville Brothers, which is, you know, probably the funkiest band of all time. And I'm really into this. If you get a chance, there's a gentleman from who actually I was lucky enough to have in one of my recordings named John Cleary, and he has a band called John Cleary and the Absolute Monster Gentlemen, and they are the funkiest individuals this side of Cucabunga, wherever that might be. See, I almost got in trouble again, Glenn.
Let's hear it for our students. I'm Glenn Moberg. You are listening to a special live Route 51 Blues in the Schools concert at UW-Marathon County with Greg Koch and the Tone Controls. on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I am going to sit in.
Yes.
And the point we're trying to make here, ladies and gentlemen, is that you don't need to be a guitar virtuoso to play the guitar and to find a great deal of satisfaction and pleasure in your life. Don't let the fact that this guy is so good intimidate you. Pick up a musical instrument, learn how to play it, and if you practice enough, you will be able to sit in with people like Greg Koch and keep up with him, even though you're not as good as he is.
Are you ready?
We are ready. Greg Koch and the Tone Controls. I'm going to get out of his way, and he's going to play some more for you.
Woo! Let's do a little bit of the shuffle tune. This is a brand new tune from our latest release. It's a little shuffle tune. And it's based on a blues progression, but it's got a little bit more. Because, again, I can never not, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what that means. I can never not. It's a bold statement. Here we go. Two, aha, aha.
Greg Koch and the Tone Controls in a special Route 51 Blues in the Schools concert live from UW-Marathon County on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, we're going to put these guys on the spot. Let's talk to bassist Kevin Muschel. Kevin, what's it like playing with Greg?
Hold on for dear life.
Who are your greatest influences as a bassist?
You know, it's funny. Greg and I, we were riding up here last night, and a couple of them came on, and you just realize when you hear them why they're so influential. Guys like, for me, I'm kind of, I wouldn't call it newer generation, but guys like Marcus Miller, Nathan East, you know, Jaco Pastorius, these are the modern heroes, you know, and they influence me more than probably anybody. You got guys like Victor Wooten. And these guys play, they play rootsy bass, but at the same time, they take it to the next level. Their understanding of harmony is extreme. You know, they get it. And if you can just be a tenth of what they can do, you're okay.
Fingers or picks?
It's fingers for me.
Let's talk to Gary Kaler. Gary, what's it like playing with Greg?
It's an honor and a privilege. It's a blast.
Who are your greatest influences as a drummer? Who did you listen to?
The reason I became a drummer was... there was a band called Deep Purple, and the drummer's name was Ian Pace, and they put out a live album in 1972 called Made in Japan. I heard it, and I was Ian Pace. I just had to play the drums.
I was working in rock and roll radio at the time, and we played that record a lot.
It was outstanding.
So who are you listening to now?
Oh, I listen to a lot of stuff. I was fortunate enough to take a master class with a drummer named Dave Weckl. He's a jazz fusion drummer a number of years ago, and he taught us to change the way we think about the drumstick and just relearn everything.
So what is the role of a drummer and more broadly of a rhythm section in a rock and roll band, a blues band, or a jazz band?
I think largely that's up to the drummer. Like you were talking before about creativity and a self-expression, there shouldn't really be a whole lot of rules. You know, in my case, I made some decisions about, I listened to the Allman Brothers a lot growing up and listened to how the drummer, my favorite drummers listen to what's going on the stage and react to it, and they go along with the journey. You know, they're part of the trip, but they're not driving the bus, so to speak.
Some people think, you know, the role of the drummer is to keep the beat, like Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones, and then you've got somebody like Ginger Baker of Cream, who was an instrumentalist and a soloist.
Yeah, it's all over the map. You know, these guys, you got to remember, these bands, all these guitar players and bassists had great time. So the role of time is really, every group of players will have its own feel. And it's up to the drummer to help instill that and identify what it feels like.
Gary Kaler, and Kevin Muschel. What's it like playing with these guys, Greg?
Oh, they're fantastic. I mean, just what they were alluding to, just the... first of all, they're top-notch musicians, and they're great guys to hang with, and there's that. So they're a pleasure to hang with. But the influences put together is this unique... pot, this weird stew, if you will, and it just works. I mean, I've played with a lot of different rhythm sections over the years, some by choice, some but not by choice. You know, I get flung into various different things, and when I start playing with this band again, it's like, this is the expression of what I do, because what I do is cross-pollinate, and we cross-pollinate together, so it's just it's a really good thing.
What's next for Greg Koch?
Well, a lot of different stuff. You know, part of my career is juggling, putting out music, of course, doing stuff where I do all these videos out this place out in Colorado called Wildwood Guitars. If you go online, they got like 20 million views of these doggone videos. A lot of times I'm just being a numbskull, but be that as it may. But I have these new signature guitar pickups on this particular guitar, and I'm going to have a new signature guitar coming out at the end of the year. So we're going to try to get a record done. I'll have this new guitar out. I got these new pickups out. We'll go back to Europe in the fall. In between then, I'm going out to Colorado. I got to go out to Canada next week. I'm going to Germany. And it's just, you know, you can do what you got to do.
Busy man. Greg, thank you so much for making this happen.
An
we really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
Thank you very much.
Greg Koch, and now is the great one, Jackie Gleason, would say, a little traveling music, please.
Yes. All right, here we go. We'll be right back.
We want to thank today's guests, Greg Calk and the Tone Controls, Kevin Muschel on bass, Gary Kaler on drums. Thanks also to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Jane Ritger, UW Marathon County Dean Keith Montgomery, theater manager Chris Berg, Mike Tatro of the Great Northern Blues Society, UWMC's Tim Buchholz, awesome guitarist James DeHart, and the students and teachers here today from the Wausau School District, the D.C. Everest School District, the Rib Lake School District, and UW Marathon County. You can find out more about Greg at gregcalk.com. You can hear him perform tonight at the Intermission in downtown Wausau. You can find out more about the Great Northern Blues Society at gnbs.org. The 17th annual Blues Cafe takes place Saturday, March 12th at the Rothschild Pavilion. I'm Glenn Moberg. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. The program can also be downloaded at wpr.org/route51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we are heading out of town.
For trouble, you come to the right place. I could tell, by that look on your face. You're a fine young portrait of sand, out of an angel, the devious candidate.